Oh, I am live. Okay. It didn't show up on the thing. What's going on, man? Oh, Sunday morning. I love it. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to being in the huddle with me, Coach Muddle, as I try to do two things at once. Lots to get to. The professor says that he's jumping on board. I know, daddy duties. Hey, been there, done that. So he says, and of course, Coach Billy has been talking a lot of trash, and says he will be here shortly. So we will definitely get into some of that stuff. So I can't wait. We're having some fun today because we got a lot to talk about. And I just wanted to share a fun fact with everyone that today, the only game that has two teams with winning records would be the Giants Seahawks game. Hey, just saying. I'm just saying, I mean, now how that is, because hey, the New York Football Giants are 6-1, baby. Who would have thought that? Oh man, I'm telling you, it is really excited about it. So we're gonna have some fun today when those guys get involved, because oh, by the way, the city of Philadelphia is going nuts, because they're in this delusional high. Yes, you guys are in a delusional high, and I will get on Billy about it, because I mean, come on, it's kind of funny. The Eagles are 6-0 as they face the man, I can't believe I'm saying this, the hapless, yeah, I say it, hapless Pittsburgh Steelers. Oof, man, how does that work? And man, and the Philadelphia Phillies are in the World Series. Holy crap. I mean, they fired their manager, Joe Girardi. Great Yankee. Thought he was great manager for the Yankees. But hey, it didn't work out in Philadelphia. They sent him packing, and all of a sudden, now they're in the World Series. It's tied 1-1, and they're heading back to the city of brotherly love for the next three games. But how about this now? I mean, if you got the coin, which I don't, but and I'm couldn't care either. But on Wednesday, you could go to World Series Game Five, because there's going to be at least a Game Five. Game five, then get on a plane, go to Houston, and see the Eagles play in Houston on Thursday. And let me bring in the professor. What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Oh man, doing great. How are you?
Every day's a holiday, baby. I mean, the Giants are 6-1. And it's the only game with two winning teams playing against each other today. Did you know that?
That's pretty incredible. And I gotta say, man, 6-1 is pretty awesome. And a lot of it has to do with the low key acquisition of Wink Martindale.
Absolutely, man.
Fantastic pickup, man. And it's funny because every week everyone's like, "Oh, the Giants are going to lose this week. Oh, it's time for them to lose. It's the bot. Let the bottom fall out." Hasn't yet. So kudos to the Giants.
Hey, and going into the bye week, I mean, we have a great opportunity to be 7-1 going into the bye. I mean, if you told me that in April, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
I'm excited. I'm excited that they're starting to throw out the trash. I think we got a great deal by getting rid of Kadarius Toney, and we got a third round pick for him. I mean, it's a compensatory pick, which, okay, but still, it's a third round pick. It's some extra assets of, is the quarterback in the draft this year that, and the Giants can accumulate some picks and go get that guy. So we'll see.
It's interesting because Danny Dimes is also showing that if you surround your team with a competent coach, a strong run game, everything else can be secondary and he can still be competent because we didn't see that before. The culture is definitely shifting in New York, I feel like. Getting rid of Tony also, adds to that. So I'm impressed so far with what I'm seeing this year. It's a big turnaround.
And the culture, it's really hard to, and I gotta believe at that level, it's a little harder because you're dealing with men making millions of dollars. So, to get them to buy in, but I think the wins, you're stacking wins. So now guys believe, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. It's, and they're buying in, I think, quicker than had the Giants. If we're sitting here talking about the Giants being, 2-5 or, something like that, it would be something totally different.
Yeah, and it's funny to think too, like, imagine if it was a different division. 6-1 looks different in other divisions. Like, that's very impressive.
Oh, absolutely. We're number two in the division behind, but I gotta believe, as bad as the NFC is, the Giants, could go, 5-5 after the bye and
Still might.
be and still make the playoffs. I mean, you're
Right.
talking about a 10, 11 win team, which is, who would have thought the Giants were winning 10 games, I mean,
Right.
holy cow.
And I mean, and what wins in the playoffs? Like what wins in December and January?
Right. It's
The ground.
defense.
It's the
Yeah.
ground
It's
and defense, right?
defense and the ground and pound. And the
Yeah.
Giants are showing that. Unfortunately, the Giants, they got two of their starting offensive linemen are out. So we'll see how that goes today, with those guys. Big props. Nick Gates, not a fan of Nick Gates, but he had a gruesome injury, and I mean, the dude fought back, and he is now on the active roster. I mean, props to that dude. I mean, hey, he worked his way back. I mean, he there's talk that he might lose his leg. Like he had I think he had like six or seven surgeries on his leg. I mean, it
Right.
was pretty gruesome. So props to him for doing that,
Here's a question I have for you. Is there any scenario this year with his stats, with his, meaningful contributions to the offense, is there any chance that you change your mind about Saquon Barkley, or do you just think that they should not sign him to a multi-year deal?
I don't think anything. I just, A, the Giants don't sign running backs, and B, look at the running backs that got the big money. McCaffrey, what has he done?
Get injured a lot.
Right. And then you see Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, they're just, not worth the money. And I just think that you can find a guy that can, run by platoon like everybody else is doing. That bell cow is
Not
just
there
not
anymore.
there. Yeah, it's just not there anymore, So I don't know. We'll see. And I'm sure some calls have been made to the Giants, but I think because the Giants are 6-1, they are buyers and not sellers at the trade deadline. Because I think if we're talking the Giants are, like I said, 2-5, I think you'd see Saquon Barkley on a different team.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, the fire sale would be strong for sure.
Right.
I mean, you don't think Western New York is calling if they're 2-5?
Yeah, absolutely. And I said that would be a great fit for Saquon. I mean, they are that guy. They are Saquon away from being, mm-hmm. you know, the Super Bowl, crown.
Yeah. Right. Crown them.
Crown them. Just that, because that's all they're missing. I mean, that's the missing piece to the puzzle, really, you know?
I'm kind of surprised that in the last like 3 years, because that is ever since Josh Allen got there, that's been the knock on the team. And I'm kind of surprised they haven't really taken steps to fix that. They got the same guys.
And you know, hey, you know, Florida product, the kid from Florida Atlantic, is a good back, but he's not a bell cow. And, you know, yeah, I don't know what it is why Buffalo just hasn't gone there, but I mean, I don't know how they're going to be paying all these guys. You know, they paid Josh Allen, they paid Diggs, they paid who they just bring in, that defensive end. Why is his name slipping me? It's right there.
I'm losing it too. Oh, hold on. Is it was it Von Miller?
Yes, thank you, Von Miller. So where are you paying all these guys? You know, so you know, you got to get a guy in there, and I think you can get some running backs.
And it's funny draft wise too, because I think Damian Pierce was a fourth rounder this year, and he's lighting it up for the Texans. You're telling me that Damian Pierce wouldn't absolutely light it up for the Buffalo Bills?
Right, right.
You know, because everyone's going to stack the box against him right now when he's in Houston. Can't do that in Buffalo. They'll make you pay. So I'm just, you know, sometimes I wonder, can't question them too much because they've had a really, obviously the draft results speak for themselves in Buffalo, but, you know, between the draft and the free agency, of course, I mean, Stephon Diggs was definitely a Christmas gift a couple years back for sure.
Right. And that was, you know, well, they got him via trade. They didn't,
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He wasn't a free agent. That's
he
right.
wasn't, he was, it was via trade. He was all disgruntled there in Minnesota. And, so they shipped him out. And,
by the way, it's Minnesota, like, doesn't even miss the guy. You look right.
No, I mean, you
don't miss the beat.
They didn't. I mean, when you get Jefferson, I mean, you know, and that's all I hear. And I'm sure when Billy gets here, you know, they're complaining because I mean the guy that the Eagles drafted before Jefferson, they wound up shipping to Vikings, the Vikings, you know.
So. Yeah, and that's another crazy story too. I mean, Eagles are having great success now. You know, grabbed AJ Brown, Devontae Smith was a good pickup the other couple of years, but man, for a while there, they just could not find success at wide receiver. I mean, just whiffs, you know, and you look at Justin Jefferson now and you think to yourself, with those teams that needed wide receivers, like what were they thinking, right? Like sometimes I want to be a fly on the wall in the war room
right.
draft day. My Ravens my Ravens have a really bad history of drafting wide receivers. So I can't speak as far as my team goes, but sometimes it smacks you in the face and you wonder, you know, cause like for Jalen Reagor, I mean, I don't know, college tape on Jefferson versus Reagor, to me, there's no comparison. I'm grabbing Jefferson and the Vikings happily did.
And you know, and I don't know, you know, you went with that Alabama pedigree and all that, you know, and it just didn't pan out but I think was with Reagor too. And I think it's kind of really hard is those receivers, are they talent? Because I find that corner is one of the toughest, to evaluate a corner mm-hmm. because you're not facing 18 top quarterbacks in a row like you are in the NFL. You know, I mean, this college schedule is what, 12 games, 10, 12 right. games. You're not facing 10 to 12 NFL quarterbacks every year, every week. So you can't really look at him, you know, that sample size gets really shrunk down to see. And I think the receiver gets part of that, is a product of that. Is that kid that good?
Right.
Or is it a product of what's going on around him? And I think Rager and some of those other receivers from Alabama you're seeing is just a product of what's around them, you know?
That makes a lot of sense too, because the college game is so spread out. Like, for years, from my personal opinion, I was like, man, you cannot trust most ACC quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Danny Dimes for one, Mitch Trubisky, you know, they weren't seeing the top talent, like you said, every week, or even in their own conference in terms of, like, in terms of the defenses they were facing. So, you know, and that's why also you take a big gamble when you go after these, you know, the division one AA guys, you know, Flacco was a risk. Flacco panned out for a little bit.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Flacco also played at Pitt. Everybody forgets he started at Pitt, had the big issue with the coach, and that's why he left. So a little bit different. Not like Carson Wentz was a D1AA guy from Jump Street. He didn't go anywhere else. He didn't have offers anywhere else.
And I think Trey Lance too, right?
Yeah, I think Trey Lance was another guy who just was one of those guys. So it's
the jury's still out on him too. Jury is still.
Yeah, it is, and I honestly just don't. I think he's going to be just a serviceable backup.
Yeah.
With that,
do you think there's like an ego situation there where the coach feels like this guy is just going to thrive in my system, and so they go after someone like that, where you could get other guys with more bona fides? Is there just like an ego thing where like I can shine?
I think so. I really do. I think that there is a little bit of a, you know, that I just get that from Kyle Shanahan, that he's a guy that, you know what, I can make anybody work in my system. I don't need, you know, kind of like Bill Belichick. I don't really need to pay guys because I can fit anybody into my system. And, you know, and now, you know, there's kind of some glaring, you know, you're starting to see some warts show up in, so to speak, in New England now, because now there's a quarterback issue with your quarterbacks. And so you're starting to kind of see the warts around that Bill was able to hide for so many years.
Was Mac Jones Alabama as well, if I'm not mistaken?
He is an Alabama guy.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama, yes, they are, you know, pro style offense, closest thing to a NFL team as you can get. But we also need to remember that Nick Saban flamed out in the NFL. So sometimes buyer beware.
Well, I think Joe Namath is really the only quarterback that comes to mind from Alabama that has been a quote unquote elite quarterback in the league. I can't really think of a guy that came in the league from Alabama and did anything, you know, it kind of just one of those things. I mean, you know, just don't think about quarterbacks from Alabama being able to, you know, play at the next level. Now, running backs, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you know, you're going there, you know, you're getting a solid guy, but granted, running back is still tricky, but those offensive linemen pretty much are pretty, you know, when you get offense, defensive linemen, those guys are pretty solid.
It's funny, you know, earlier you mentioned, and I believe you're correct on the idea of not being able to evaluate cornerbacks, but like an Alabama secondary is also going to be typically a good situation for someone to draft.
Yeah, you had, what was it, Patrick Surtain's kid went to Alabama. He's thriving out in Denver, you know, and, unfortunately, he's in Denver.
Yeah.
And they could be a coach, you know, a that could be a coach that could get fired in his first, you know, in his rookie year. You know, and I don't really count what's his name there in Jacksonville last year with the whole I think he was just trying to leave and didn't Urban want to Meyer. Leave. Urban Meyer, yes.
Yeah.
I can't
Nathaniel Hackett looks lost in the sauce every single week.
Yes, absolutely.
To be honest, man, Nathaniel Hackett looks like if you were going to throw me out on the field and be like, hey, man, head coach this game, see what happens. Okay. You know, it's just not – he just doesn't – he looks like he definitely is that guy who's going to be most comfortable as a coordinator and, you know, and has his strengths. But right. Maybe head coach is not that strength.
Right. So
there's been sometimes it looks like he's waiting for the head coach to make a call. Right? Like he forgets that he's not a coordinator. That's what he looks like sometimes.
But yeah, but he's a, you know, and the part of the problem though is you know, I just, you know, there's no, where's your veteran on the staff? Where is that guy that has been there for a while, you know, that like Dable, he went out, he got Wink Martindale, and there's a guy, hey, here's the defense, go do it. And he doesn't, I can concentrate on this. And, you know, he went out and got a young offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, but they work well together. Kafka's still calling the plays, but I'm sure Dable's in there and going, you know, I like this play in this situation. I'm sure he's throwing some nuggets to him here and there and working well together.
Right.
But because he doesn't have to worry about the defense. But when you hire a bunch of young rookies, so to speak, they're you know, I'm sure none of those guys are rookies, but you don't have that grizzled veteran that you kind of need to help you along, whether you're, you know, if you're that offensive mind, which he was brought in to be, then you need to go hire a defensive guy that has been, you know, has been in the league for a long time that can, you know, almost with maybe head coaching experience, that guy that can just kind of run the defense without you having to even, you know, think about it. You're just listening on the headset of what's going on, or you're in, you know, so you're able to kind of do some stuff with the offense and not worry about it. That's just kind of, you know, the way I think that you should do it.
Right. That's a great, great, great point. You know, like you focus on yours, you bring in veteran guys that you know are just going to handle. You don't need your hands in every single cookie jar, right? You stick to the chocolate chips, you know, you give those Keebler EL fudges, keep those over there. You keep the macaroons on that side. You just stick to chocolate chips, baby.
I'm a Samoa guy. Them Girl Scout cookies. Yes. I found out Walmart makes the knockoff Samoas.
Any good? Have you had them?
Oh yeah, spot on, man. I'm thinking they're using the same people the Girl Scouts use or something.
So,
but
so it's not $5 for three cookies.
No, it's actually like $2 for a box of, you know, 12 or I think it's 12 or 15, whatever it is, you know.
The Girl Scouts of America is the biggest pyramid scheme in the history of the United States of America. That's my hot take today.
Hot take by Professor. It's the
it's not even sports related. You realize the Girl Scouts of America could have an NFL franchise if they wanted to, right? They raised that much money.
Yes, man. You're right, man. Because I tell you what, you can't walk into a Walmart or a grocery store without them sitting there with their table and, you know, all their boxes, and they give you that guilt trip. Like, really? You're not buying cookies from us? Like, you know, and it's like, sorry, they sell them inside for $2. Why? I can't give you seven. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, like, and they always make sure, like, they, you know, you feel bad. You feel like a jerk if you walk by and you don't buy any.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Like the biggest guilt trip of your life.
Right. It's like, but, oh, you know, it's lucky for me, I'm kind of a jerk, so I just kind of just keep on trucking, man.
Naturally. They're like, Mommy, there goes that prickly man.
Yes.
He's
Oh,
so
just let him
angry.
go. You'll get somebody else, you know.
There's the man in the hammer strength shirt.
Hey, I'm representing today,
I
man.
love it.
Representing today,
Yes,
you
you
know.
are. Yes, you are. Yeah, as you should, man. It's a killer situation.
Yeah, and then right after the game, it goes back. It goes to the black and red, getting my pirate gear on, and heading south because there's some guys down there getting ready to, overcome a hurricane to go win a district title. So, you know,
I've been keeping up on. You've been doing really good about posting about them. So.
You know, it's really easy for somebody to just hit the retweet button. You right. know, it's really easy. But you ask me to start typing stuff out, then we got issues, man.
But you're doing it, though. You're doing
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's awesome. Man, I tell you, where we're at right now, you're what we'll call a well-traveled guy, right? You're well-traveled. Okay. You're seasoned. Football is just different in Florida, man. From the stories you're telling me, football is just absolutely night and day different than the first state. And obviously,
you know, and look, let's table that because let's get Billy in. He's,
sure.
You know, he get in because I got some things to get him, and I've really him and I have talked about that quite at length. And you know, and I have some things that will you know about that. But when he jumps on, we'll jump on that. But I can't believe, I said this just before you jumped on, Professor. The city of Philadelphia is absolutely going ridiculously nuts right now. And I was saying, because, you know, the Phillies split the two games in Houston. So there's going to be a game five. So if you have the coin, you can go to game five in Philadelphia, get on a plane, and Thursday see the Eagles play the Texans in Houston. And if the Eagles are – I'm sorry, if the Phillies manage to win one – or vice versa or whatever, and there's a game six, you're already in Houston to go to game six. I mean, you know, that's pretty
that's sports life, baby.
Yeah, man.
It's funny, man. I was just DJing a wedding last night, and they had me play this. Now you're old, right? You're older. So
I'm old.
There's a remix by an artist named Tiesto right now, and I think it's called like dancing on my own or dancing by myself or something like that. But the Phillies have taken that and ran with it as like their unofficial anthem for this World Series bid. I put that on cause I knew my crowd. I mean, this crowd was definitely like a pro Philly crowd. There's a lot of Philadelphia right. sports fans. They went nuts. Now, obviously, like, you know, they're all partly cloudy this morning. Just like,
I'm sure.
Yeah. You know how it goes.
Yes.
They went absolutely nuts. You know, for right now, for that city, it is definitely a time of absolute optimism. You're just like letting them know.
Yeah.
Letting them know. New York is still in the building. You know, it's an absolute time of optimism. And, you know, Houston, as a baseball club, you know, they're favored. No matter what you want to say, they're favored. So
yeah.
anytime, you know, if Philly comes in and starts hot and actually takes one from them, the whole city and the whole fan base is just so energized. And by the way, I've heard a lot of BS, man. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I watched the replay. That dude leaned into that pitch. He put his whole elbow in that pitch. He did not try and avoid that. He was like, here's my elbow pad. Give me this base on balls. It was bad. You know what I'm talking about, right? Game
no,
one.
No, I don't, you know, the Yankees are done.
So you're
so
done.
I'm done with baseball. I'm on to the 6-1 New York Football Giants,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, you are. Well, so basically what happened was and Houston, man, if you're any player in Houston, you got to be careful with stuff because to me, it's going to take about 10 years before the stain of the cheating really goes away. So I'll always be suspect of them. But you know, the dude just kind of like pulled a little move. He was at the plate. You know, he's got his stance. The guy throws an inside pitch, and he kind of like leans into it, and so it catches on his elbow pad, because now they wear those pads, so it's not going to hurt him any. Mm-hmm. Umpire quickly just says nope, because the guy was about ready to walk. He's about ready to go take that little trot.
And
so there's controversy about that, but it's like, come on, like, you saw what you did. You didn't avoid, like, you actually leaned in. You didn't avoid the pitch, you know. I've watched toddlers with dogs who can like avoid tails better than, you know, this guy tried to avoid this baseball.
Oh man, I tell you what, you know, umpiring, I was doing a little middle school game, you know, biggest kid on the team gets up, you know, and rockets one over the fence into the neighborhood. And then, you know, he comes up again and the kid goes and pitches him inside, and the kid fell back, like throws the bat in the air, falls, took a great bump. I think he could have been signed by the WWF the way he right fell there. Down, got the crocodile tears going, and the coach is like, oh, get up and take your base. I'm like, for what? That didn't hit him. And, you know, Rocky's agreeing with me. You know,
my dog is all about that right now. Rocky has joined the show.
And, you know, he winds up getting back in the box, all teary eyed, put the bat on the shoulder, and the pitcher was kind of scared because he thought he hit him as well, and throws a meatball right down the center of the plate. But this kid just stood there, watched it go by, and wound up striking out. You know, and of course, you know,
like frozen basically, right?
Just froze. He just froze. He couldn't, because, you know, he thought he got hit and thought he was getting a base. And, you know, no, get back in the box, man. That didn't, you know, the ball didn't move. If it hits you, the ball's going to move and go in a different direction. It didn't, you know.
Coach Mullen, that plate, man. Coach Mullen.
Yeah, okay. Man. Walk it off. I told the coach too. I said, you keep running your mouth, you're going to run you right to your car. So, you know,
I need to come to one of your middle school games. I need to come to one of your umpiring situations and just with a, you see me with the biggest bag of popcorn, waiting to, like, I'll pick like when you've had a really rough week at work. And then you hit the starboard the night before. Yeah. And I'm just going to sit there. You'll see me at the top left of the bleacher. Just waiting.
Yeah. You know, a couple summers, you know, a while ago when I was still full time and at that in the summertime, I would lead all umpires in ejections. Hey, Al Leiter, claim the fame. I threw Al Leiter out of a baseball game.
I'm not shocked. Yeah. I'm not shocked at all.
Here's his line, too. He goes, I'm a major league pitcher, and that's not a major league strike. I said, we're not in the major leagues, and you're out of here.
I love that.
Oh, man, yeah.
Have you seen the Spirit of Halloween?
Yes. Memes? Yes,
we gotta make one for you. Get your Coach Muddle outfits.
I had a note because I was gonna say I'm in my meme costume, prickly talk show host today.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and here's a good one. You know, Giselle has great company now. Mm-hmm. Do you know, she joins great company because her, Eli Manning, and Nick Foles, the only three people to take rings from Tom Brady. Mm. Too early for that, Tom. Is it too early?
You know what? He knew what he was getting into, and so did she, because I don't need to tell you or Billy that, you know, you guys are so dedicated at all freaking times. So that's like your first marriage. And anybody who gets involved in that has to know that. And she was aware of that.
Yeah. You gotta know, especially at that level, to, you know, to, you know, walk away. I think the flip-flopping, I think that's what got her. Honestly,
probably.
The flip.
Probably. I mean, and we can speculate, but yeah, I mean, that is the flip-flop probably really made her mad, especially because she's been the one to make public comments, like,
right,
you know, 18 years or whatever, you know, of doing this. And I get it, you know, that's one of those situations where you're bumped for everybody involved. Probably one of the most high profile divorces of all time.
Yeah.
In the modern world. You know, and I think everybody just on a human level, it sucks because it sucks for kids and it sucks for human beings. And I mean, it's definitely affecting his career this year. He would not, this would not be happening this year if not for that. Because we're seeing temper tantrums and.
Yeah, it's really thrown him off his game. You can see it. And I did see a funny meme. It was there's little kids playing Madden, and it said Tom Brady's kids trying to spend time with their dad.
Oh, my God. Oh.
That's bad. But
they're gonna have the Spirit of Halloween costume that says "My Dad," and it's just empty. So here's my question for you, Coach.
Okay.
Does he, now that this is done, right? Does his game improve anymore this year? Because now, like, it's over.
No.
So here's another question.
Does he
play next year?
No, I don't think so. I think he's done after this. Now let's bring in Coach Billy.
What's going on, and, guys?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Last weekend of field hockey. All
right. I got to say real quick to everybody out there watching, everybody needs a buddy, and I got two of the best buddies right here. Help me out in jams. Appreciate you guys, man.
Anytime, buddy.
Everybody's got a buddy.
There you go. There you go, man. There you go. How you doing, Coach Billy?
Good, man. You know,
it's a little better. You know, it's a little better. You get a little win on Friday nights, you know, and, you know, it's homecoming. So, you know, everybody's a little fired up.
It was an electrical atmosphere. I mean, our guys face adversity most of the game. We were behind a little bit, and you know, they all responded. It probably helped the fact that the recruiting coordinator for Duke was at the game, so that probably helped. Yeah,
right.
You know, guys' performance went up a little bit. You know, we took care of.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's funny we were talking about that. I mean, you know, it's funny how that works, and you know, the guys just played a little bit above themselves. They never gave up, even though they were behind. And it's good to be back in the win column, man. Very good.
Good. Congratulations. You know, it's the first time I saw. I like the two-tone turf. I like the turf, the new turf, man. It looks good. Looks tough, man.
I'll be honest. When they first put it in, I didn't know how I felt about it. I'm like, I don't know. Like, are we trying to be Oregon here? And it actually turned out great. So it was amazing. And speaking of high school, man, what are you feeding those boys in Port Charlotte? Big number 9, 50, 75. I mean, if you guys keep this going, I mean, you guys are going to be Division I high. I mean, those guys all look like they'd be Big Ten.
Billy, ACC. They eat gator down there. High-protein gator.
Dude, they all look like grown men. I mean, it's unreal.
There's some athletes on that team. There are, and the funny thing is you know, those guys that you talked about, they're young bucks. They're not even seniors yet, so they still got a little bit of growing to do, and whatnot. I mean, number 9's a stud. I tell you what, and look, if he could just grow 2 more inches, he would definitely be playing at a Power 5, guarantee.
There's no question about it.
What's his position?
Guy, he's a middle linebacker. He's six. He's 6 foot. He's about 220, probably. But you know, I watch that cat. You know, power clean over 200 pounds. I mean, and he's all over the field. He's you know, we got 2 linebackers that can get at it, get after it, and they're a couple of studs. So, you know. We got some guys, man, that can play at the next level, and it really, you know, I think that helps your guys out, because you know you're on the field with guys that are playing, going to go to the next level, and it raises your level, you know, and I think it raises, like, oh man, because Billy, you're on a field with somebody that's really good, you know, man, this dude's really good. I got to step up my game to be on this field with him, you know.
You literally have one of two options. Either you raise your level and you can say, hey, man, I'm right here with you, or you don't and you get left behind and you're lost in the sauce and you're just, you know, you're a teammate of the guy that was the man. You know what I mean? Instead of being, you know, I'm one of those guys. I'm just a teammate of the guy that was that guy. And not many people remember the teammates of the guy that was that guy.
It's a big
booster to a team that has a guy that gets a big time power five offer, because the guys are like, yo, they're always watching. Like, I could get my shot.
Right. Because they're looking at everybody. They're watching everybody. They're not just, you know, they may be coming down to look at one guy, but you know what? You know, oh, well, hey, who's that cat that just popped, you know, who popped? Now I got to take a look at this guy. So, you know.
I'm be honest with you. I don't know if he stayed the whole game, but if he stayed towards the end, I mean, our weak side DN had a monstrous walk-off tip to himself interception.
Nice.
And to end the game. And I mean, it's. I'm telling you, they're going to be like, man, who is that guy? Who's that kid? I mean, he's tall. He's just raw. And, you know, it's his first year playing football. But, I mean, he's taller than me, and he jumped a little bit. And I told him, I said, man, you should have been playing football for 4 years. I know. But, I told guys that. I'm like, you guys show out. And I'm like, man, who's that kid? I mean, both our backs – combined total, we had 492 yards rushing Friday.
Nice.
So I'm sure they saw.
Hey, look, when you're rushing for that, when you got that kind of number, man, you're putting a dub up. You know, I mean, so
absolutely. I mean, it was just one of our big long runs started at the 3-yard line, and he scored.
Well, right before half. I mean, what was that? That had to be a. That was a 80, 90-yard run he broke off right before halftime there to give you guys the lead going into half.
Definitely. So. And our guys, one of our guys said it. He goes, Coach, man, I can see it hitting a sled all week. That really helps.
you think?
You don't say. I mean, but it was awesome to see our kids, like, come together. Everything started clicking. It was good to see it.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. So, appreciate you being in the house, man. You got a insider access pass, I heard.
Yeah. You know, got me down on the sidelines and everything, you know, so.
Buddy of the program.
Friends of the program. Friends of the program.
Billy, next time you guys need a big win, I'm going to go sit up in the bleachers, like left side with an iPad, just looking. You know, doing one of these moves, and you could tell them that I'm, like, you know, the scouting director for Elon College or something like that.
Yeah, well, we got to get you some gear from that college here, Keith. We'll get you geared up. We'll get you geared up, and then
I got you guys.
Well, the funny thing was, you know, one of our guys actually got leftover gear from a previous visit, and he's like throwing up. It's that, like, Bama on the inside of it, so he's throwing that up. I'm like, oh my god, this guy. but it's man, it's a great thing to have, man. Just to be back in the winning column, and you know, now,
yeah, it's good to be on that side of the ledger, man. You know,
yeah, oh yeah, and for weeks, I mean, we're just like thinking to ourselves, like, what are we doing wrong? And finally, it all came together. And the one thing we all came away with, that we were like, you know, we got to wear the same stuff again next week, right? Because typically we don't wear the same thing. But I mean, from the hoodies to the sweatpants, like, literally we all look down.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, October's over, man. The pink is gone.
We didn't have pink on. That's the problem.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Head coach had a pink hat on.
Yeah, he had a pink hat on, but he was in white, and we all had like maroon on with the gray jogger pants. We were like, you realize we have to wear this again next week, right, boys? You have to.
So, all right. So, Billy, you got Philadelphia is kind of going crazy right now. You got an undefeated football team. You got a team in the World Series. I mean,
I'm going to say this right now. The NFL season is a marathon. It is not a sprint. A 6-0 team can go to 6-6 really fast. Are we good? Absolutely. To say we're not good is stupid. I mean, yeah, we got the fourth easiest schedule, but we are actually all around good football team. But again, it is still early. I mean, let's wait till week 10 to see how it shakes out. But right now I'm going to say we are a good football team. And when we play mistake free, we're a damn good football team. So,
well, I think what hurts you is having such an early bye. I think you had a bye, you had your bye already. So, I mean,
normally I disagree with you, but in this case, I do agree. Like it couldn't have come at a worse time to have such an early bye week. I think you need it in the season, especially when you get into those injury bug deals. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just, I'm like, oh God, whoever came up with this schedule, man, they need to be off of it.
All right. So, professor, does the Ravens do anything trade deadline Tuesday, 4 PM? We're going to hear the Ravens make any kind of splash of some sort.
If they do, I think it's gotta be wide receiver. And it doesn't need to be a gigantic name, but they got to do something. And there's a possibility that maybe I've been talking for years. Like, I love Gus Edwards, but I feel like you can actually get some value for Gus Edwards to a lot of teams. I thought Gus Edwards would be a great fit a couple years back for Philadelphia. I think that Gus Edwards could be a great fit right now, a missing piece for Buffalo. We talk about, the platoon, because I feel like Buffalo's needy, but they got to get some value somewhere for another wideout because the group is just not getting it done. And part of that is still Lamar Jackson. But they're also injury prone right now on the line side, but I don't know how you fix that necessarily because people aren't really always willing to ship off O linemen. So I think missing pieces wise, I think that they're going to need to try and find a wide receiver. They've been linked to Odell Beckham, but I just don't see OBJ showing up there. The way Lamar Jackson plays, I feel like what's going to happen with him, the way that things are probably going to happen with him is you get a guy who comes in that gets traded, and maybe Lamar balls out with this guy. But he's going to have to be the guy that actually shows that he can give guys stats because wide receivers, by nature, they want that ball and they want stats. Like, you don't get team – wide receiver's not really the team player type dude. I mean, you get some of those guys like George Pickens and stuff like that who's willing to block and throw down, but most wide receivers want that ball. So that's where they have to go. They have to find somebody to help them. And Lamar Jackson's also going to show up and show out when it comes to his wideouts because, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely just tossing it to tight ends all day isn't going to get the job done all year.
All right. So, Billy, where do the Eagles go? They're going to do something at the trade deadline.
I keep hearing us going for Kareem Hunt and then a man from the Saints. I'll be honest with you, and this is what I've told the fan base. They're like, oh wow, he's not going to come to Philly to back up Miles Sanders. First of all, I think we're going to get rid of I don't know if we signed him back, or I think we're going to get rid of him because, again, we're paying a lot for a guy that is not really worth the value, if I could say that. I mean, the guy's injured. The guy's just, I don't know.
You're talking Sanders?
Yeah. So I think what's going to happen, we made some good moves so far. I think Howie's going to hold on to that Saints draft pick, to the last second. And I think I'm hoping, because right now, I mean, this Howie is amazing. My God, I don't know what diet he's been on, what he's been doing, but man, good grief. I mean, the moves that he has made are unbelievable. So, you know, I'm excited to see what they do with the pick. If they, in fact, hold on to it, that's not a bad idea either, because, I mean, you have some decent backs coming out of the draft this year, and, I mean.
Yeah, but you got to win now, man. Got to win now.
Right? But all the contracts aren't, like, they're not that old. I mean, except for Fletcher Cox, who's near the end. But then again, is he really, like, the stud he was in the beginning? Yeah, yes and no. I mean, it's okay. Go ahead, Keith.
It's funny to me just how the fan base would actually say out – somebody would say out loud, like, Kamara's going to come in and be a backup to Miles Sanders. You got Kamara or Sanders? Come on. So one of those dudes is jumping over the other.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
How do you even fix your mouth to say that Sanders is going to start over Kamara?
Could you imagine also just the receiving option that Kamara also brings? Like in addition, right? Just he's such a weapon. He's been a weapon on bad Saints teams. So imagine you give him Hurts. Good Lord.
I'll tell you, if we get that guy, it is going to be fun to watch him roll. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. So I just think that whatever move that we decide to make, I think that the thing is, it's gotta be something that A, it is gonna work out for us in long term. Cause like I said, all the contracts we got right now, I mean, there are not many guys at the end of them. They're really all at the beginning. So you could see the Eagles win this year and then do the same thing again next year. So but it's early. It is early. So again, good football team. That's all I'm going to say. Good football team. Very good.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, I'm I'm one of those, you know, Giant fans that is, you know, I'm excited that we're winning, but I don't want us to be going to giving away draft picks because we have a lot of needs to go get a receiver. We're not a receiver away from winning a Super Bowl. We're not there. We've got other pieces. But if we can get somebody on the cheap and upgrade our receiving core, you know, and hey, right, maybe this trade of Kadarius Toney all of a sudden miraculously gets Kenny Golladay back healthy to get him on the field to say, you know, that, you know, he can play. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, I think the Giants, you know, are going to be 7-2 going into the – or 7-1 going into the bye this week.
Kenny Golladay pops up like the clown from Billy Madison. Hey, kids, I bet you thought that I was dead.
Oh, goodness, well, man.
Speaking of receivers, how do you feel about the rumor there, Professor? The rumor – you guys going after DeSean Jackson?
He's already there. Yeah, it happened.
He signed. Oh, how do you feel about
him? He's there.
How do you feel about him, man?
I mean, speed is speed. You know, speed is speed. I don't know. I mean, so Marquise Brown was the same situation as DeSean Jackson. Just run. Just go that way. Go that way, young man. Go west. I guess I'm okay with it. I feel like he's old.
He is. He's good for about probably 6 to 10 plays a game, and that's about it.
And I mean, he wasn't nearly as bad as who was the LeSean McCoy in terms of attitude, right? Because LeSean McCoy around the city of Philadelphia at least was a noted bastard. You know, like really really bad to staff members, like just like. You know, if LeSean McCoy is sitting down at a restaurant in your restaurant, it's not going to be a good night for that server.
Oh, no, not at all.
You know, and I was never a Chip Kelly guy in terms of what the fire sale that he did. But I just wonder if you know, DeSean Jackson is coming in. I worry about the how.
Hey, Chip's got the number 10 team in the land, though.
Stop. Come on now.
That's college.
Stop it.
That's college. It's college.
You're a Chip Kelly guy, Dan. Come on, man.
Come on. We run the bundle together, man. We've got ties, man.
Oh,
come
God.
On now.
All right. So
come on, baby.
What I'm going to say is with Deshaun Jackson, I just hope that he doesn't try and change the culture there. I just hope he's a valuable asset to Lamar Jackson, because if he's going to be a hindrance, then there's no point in having him. You know,
I think he's going to be the safety blanket, like when he rolls out.
Right.
Because Deshaun has been used to that for a while in the teams he's played on.
Right.
Especially his later time in Philly. But
good morning.
You know, I just.
Morning, Mama Moon. How you doing?
Hey, Mama Moon. How you doing? But I think it'll be a good. I think it'll be a good fit in that fact. He's got to buy in the fact that he is a role player. It is no right. way.
Yeah, but I think he understands that now at his age and what he's doing and sure. and you know, so it should be.
I still think the Ravens need one more veteran, because the guys, you know. You hear the lip service in the beginning of the year, the GM, the coach, they talk about, like, we like the guys that we have in-house, you know, but the guys that they have in-house have been developmental projects that have been developmental projects for years and just so happened to end up being guys that were on the roster because they had nobody else. You know, James Procci, Devin Duvernay has flashed a little bit, but, you know, Rashad Bateman can't stay healthy to save his life.
Right.
So Rashad Bateman should be what the old Ravens team had, the Super Bowl winning team had Torrey Smith on the outside as a deep threat and Anquan Boldin as the number two possession guy.
Yeah.
And Bateman should be the Anquan Boldin role to complement the speed guy who was Hollywood Brown until he left. So they just need something. They need something else. Something's definitely missing in Baltimore.
All right, gentlemen, good stuff, man. I appreciate you guys coming, hanging out, everybody hanging out with us, because we're going to end it out. What's your score today, the Eagles game there, Billy?
I see the Eagles go a good 35-7.
Wow. You got a game. I know your guys already played, Professor. You got a game you're going to watch tonight, today?
Oh, yeah, man. On just that drive up 95, I'm going to watch that Philly game for sure.
All right. Giants, big win tonight. And also I like the Jets beating up New England tonight too.
Yeah.
You know.
As we talk about that, when is the last time that's happened?
It's been a while.
Rex Ron? Did Rex do it?
I think it was, man.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And as I'm looking now, the Jaguars are really – you got to say it at this point. Is it Russell Wilson? They look awful.
They're bad. And then, Russ isn't a good teammate. That's a rumor coming out of Seattle and now in Denver. So.
And they kept that quiet for years in
Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just now
because they won. They were winning. They were in Super Bowls. They were winning.
But even his play, he looks like hammered dog crap. He looks bad. God.
And they put out the truck for him, and they are regretting that decision.
Yeah, they are, man.
They are literally losing to the Jags, and it looks like they might lose.
Man, all right, guys. All right, enjoy some football today. Be safe. Next week, I may or may not be here or coming to you from South Florida, but I'm out the door after we get off this broadcast, heading south, get on that pirate ship. So
safe travels, Coach.
Good luck,
yeah, buddy. All right, everyone, be safe. Enjoy football. Have a great week, and we'll see everybody next week. Be good. Thanks.